You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done could separate my heart from the God who stays.
Good morning, Boonsmill Church of the Brethren. It is good to look out over the sanctuary and see you. I can see you partially with the fogged up glasses I've got on right now. I'm going to try to use the mask because that's part of being in the sanctuary. We're asking you to wear masks if we're here. And if there becomes a problem with you being able to hear me, then I'll make some adjustments. But if you're going to be able to hear me, then I'm going to leave the mask on. Now, we welcome you to worship this morning, and actually we have people scattered out throughout our campus. We have people here in the sanctuary. We have people in the fellowship hall, or at least it's open for people if they so choose to be there without masks. And we have people out in the parking lot who will be having continuing with the drive-in experience. So again, and for all of you, I want to welcome you. Glad that you're here. Our top priority as the church and the church board has been to make the health and safety of our members of the congregation our top priority. The title of my message this morning for Father's Day is The Forgiving Father. You know, in Bill Cosby's book, Fatherhood, he tells several humorous stories about fathers. In one of those stories, he writes, "Now that my father is a grandfather, he just can't wait to give money to my kids. But when I was his kid, and I would go to him and ask him for 50 cents, he would tell me the story of his life. How he got up at 4 a.m. in the morning when he was just 7 years old and walked 23 miles to milk 90 cows. And the farmer for whom he worked had no bucket. And so he had to squirt the milk into his little hand and then walk 8 miles to the nearest can. And he did all of this labor for 5 cents a month." And then Bill Cosby would say, "And the result was, he would never give me any money. But now," Bill says, "he tells my children every time he comes into the house, 'Well, let's see how much money old granddad has got for his wonderful grandkids.' And the minute they take money out of his hands, I call them over to me and I snatch it away from them because that is my money." Only Bill Cosby could make that sound so funny. Well, today we're celebrating Father's Day. And did you know it's not a religious holiday? It's actually a secular celebration day. But that does not make it, for the reason that it's not a religious holiday, any less appropriate for our consideration. However, the reason we need to pay attention to what it means to celebrate Father's Day, it has long been observed that our children get their view of God from their fathers. The way a father treats his child speaks to his child. The way he disciplines his child, all of those things play a major role in the formation of that child's understanding of God. If the father is overly critical, then that child can grow up to see God as judgmental. If a father is neglectful, when the child concludes that God does not, then the child can conclude that God does not care. If, on the other hand, dad is supportive and loving and attentive, then the child can grow up to see God as their intimate and caring and loving Heavenly Father. Now, that debate, there is, has been, and will continue to be controversy over that kind of thought of whether a person really has some image of God according to their father. Nevertheless, some stories of fatherhood experiences can't be laughed at, like the stories that I just told, the one about Bill Cosby. There is pain that fathers have inflicted upon their children and families. I have had many people comment to me over the years as a pastor, either in a casual way or sometimes just in a revealing way, how their fathers treated them. It wasn't always good. Thus, it is difficult for people who have had those kind of fathers to envision a Heavenly Father that would be anything different. This is especially true for children who have been abused by their fathers. In their minds, they say, I know the Bible says that God loves me, but I must be honest and confess that when I look at God, I don't think He likes me very much. Maybe for some people, their feelings about God just can't get past their childhood experiences. And I pray if that's true today, that God will bring healing and to such people with broken hearts that way. I can certainly just thank God for my father and for the man he was and is and the way he taught me. And when I look to my father, I see in that image a God who is surpasses love. And I thank God for that. But the reason I want to speak for a few moments here this morning with the time that remains is I want to talk about the love that God has for each of us here on Father's Day. My comments will be focused on that scripture reading from the prodigal son in Luke 15 that we read. I've preached many sermons on this parable before, but I have never preached this story the way I'm going to do it today, from the vantage point of the father. I'm not going to preach this story about the son. I'm going to preach it about the father who was waiting for his son. And despite the title that we have given that story, the real star of the story is the father. This parable is aimed at those people who are particularly troubled or broken or who have gone astray. And because of that, they are uncertain whether or not God could still love them. You heard the story read this morning. The prodigal asked for his share of inheritance. He asked for the money that his father is going to give him when he dies, but he wants it now, and so he gets it, and he goes off into a far country, and he squanders it, all of it. And he finally ends up in a dead end. No more money. No friends left to care about him. No food. Just brokenness and pain. You know, if you look out in our world, you'll see a lot of people that way. A lot of people are broken. A lot of people are wondering what direction to go with their life. Why did Jesus paint for us such a bad picture of this young man? Because I believe Jesus was trying to make us understand something about the Father. To make us understand something about the Father's love. This boy's sinfulness was so great that there was nothing left in him that could motivate the Father to love him. If the Father loves him, then it is only because that is the nature of the Father. This boy has done nothing to deserve love at all. The son finally realizes, though, the seriousness of his brokenness, and he decides to try to return home. It is interesting that there is no mention of him trying to clean himself up first, trying to get his act together, trying to put all his ducks in a row. There is no mention of him getting his life together. All we're told is that he comes to his senses. He realizes that he has made some mistakes. He realizes his brokenness, and all he wants to do is to go home. And as far as we know, he had left home and fine, expensive clothing with money in his pockets, but now he returns with nothing, wearing the only clothes he had left. They were worn clothes and dirty, and they were the only clothes he had. He even was feeding the pigs in them, dirty rags. He was broke without a penny of his father's great wealth left, and he returns to seek a position as a hired servant among his father's work crew. In the parable of the prodigal son, or I'm going to rename that, the parable of the forgiving father, which is probably a better title, the story ends showing the father running to his son to greet him with open arms. And therein lies Jesus' point. This is the story of how God loves you. As I have been preparing this message, a Christian song that came out several months ago from the Christian artist Matthew West kept playing over in my mind. And the song is entitled, "The God Who Stays." The message of that song from Matthew West is about God who never gives up on you when you go astray. And the lyrics go like this. If I were you, God, I would have given up on me by now. I would have labeled me as a lost cause. If I were you, God, I would have turned around and walked away. I would have labeled me beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays. And I'm going to play that song at the end of the service today after my message. The God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction while the whole world walks away. But the parable of the forgiving father in this story of how God is about how God loves you. And so I want us to look at five great truths about God's love on this Father's Day from this parable. And first, this story for Father's Day tells us that God's love has no limits. If there was a breaking point where the father was pushed too far to love his son, certainly this young man had found it. He had done everything that was possible to make his father not love him. He crossed every line in the sand that the father could have drawn. But the point is clear. From the father's perspective, at least, there is no condemnation. Aren't we often doing that? Don't we point fingers at people and say how awful they are and how sinful they are and what awful things they've done? Our attitude often toward other people who we call sinners is to condemn them. The father had a right to do that, but that's not what he did. He didn't condemn them, his son. When his son finally returns, he doesn't greet his son with the words, "Well, I never thought I would see you again." But instead, the father greets him with open arms. "I don't care what you may have done. You can never be stretched beyond the limits of God's love with open arms. There's no place that you've been, no place you can go, nothing that you have ever done or can do that would not have God standing with open arms welcoming you home. His love knows no limits." Secondly, this story for Father's Day tells us that God's love is a patient love. We do not know how long the prodigal was gone, perhaps a long time. It was long enough for him to apparently go through a whole lot of money. Jesus did not give us a time frame. If there had been a time limit on how far the father was willing to go before he cut his sons off completely, certainly this young man would have reached it. He did everything wrong, this son did. Yet we get the strong impression that the father never stopped looking down the road, hoping, waiting, and longing for his son's return. When the son finally returns, we're told that the father sees him from a long distance away. And why is that? Because we see the father was longing for his son, watching for his son, hoping for him. God was standing there, the father was standing there looking down the road every day, hoping his son would return. His love was a patient love. And the point is clear. A person cannot stray away so long from God or stay apart from God for so long that God's love is no longer offered. It doesn't matter how long you have been separated, perhaps, or gone in the wrong direction away from God, God is standing there with open arms. And in the same way, God waits patiently when you go astray for a season of sin. He does not sit and scheme about what He is going to do if you ever come back. God's desire is not revenge and punishment, but a relationship and a restoration. God wants you to return. He longs for you to return. He's waiting for you to return. Here's the third thing that I think this story for Father's Day implies, that God's love is eager. Jesus made this clear when he said, "When the father saw his son returning, that he ran and embraced him and kissed him." He is so overjoyed overwhelmed with joy about his son returning. This particular detail, I am quite sure, must have stunned some of the Pharisees who were hearing this story. How could this Jesus be so brazen in portraying God running and eagerly throwing his arms around a sinner? That is not how they imagine God. Not at all. They saw God as one who is punishing, the chastiser of sinners, not the lover of sinners. The truth is that God is more eager to reestablish a relationship with His children after you have sinned than you could ever imagine or think. God is not looking for a way to punish you, but a way to restore you. Just like the father in the parable, He's eagerly anticipating and waiting for your return. God's love is not stingy or revengeful. It is extravagant. and freely offered. The fourth thing this story for Father's Day implies is that God's focus is upon the sinner and not the sin. Upon his return, the son immediately begins to recite his prepared speech. He says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." The son's focus, like ours is oftentimes when we've sinned, was up on the sin, that the bad things that we've done, upon our unworthiness. In essence, the son was saying, "You know, I need your grace. I need your mercy." He knew what he deserved. And he was saying, "I don't deserve for you to treat me nice. I'm willing to take whatever is coming to me." But that's not what the father does. The focus of the father, however, is entirely different from that. The father seemingly ignores what his son is trying to say. He doesn't shout at his son and condemn him and say, "Why did you do these bad things?" Instead, the father shouts to his servants and said, "Quickly, bring out the best robe. This son's rags need to be put away and he needs to be dressed in royalty. And bring out the ring, you know, my signet ring, the one that says you can have anything in my kingdom. And put that ring on his finger, and he doesn't have any sandals. Put sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let's drink. Let's be merry. Let's celebrate." The father doesn't listen to the sadness of his son. His focus is on the happiness of his son. Some might say, "Well, but what about the son's sin? What about all the money that he wasted? What about all the wild living he did? What about the humiliation that he brought to the family's name?" And I think we can rightly say that when this boy came home, he was changed. When you realize your mistakes and you become men and women who seek God willingly, you only do that if there is a change in your heart, a change in your life. But the point here is that the father's love at all times remained focused on the boy, not the sin. Listen, actually, the wonderful good news is that your sin has already been dealt with in Jesus Christ. It is no longer the focus of our brokenness. You are the focus of God's love and restoration and renewal and a new life. The guilty things that you have done which haunt you and make you feel depressed and miserable and causes you restlessness, it is no longer something that separates you from your relationship with God. What you have done and how long you have done it is no longer a consideration. As far as we know, the father never even asked the boy how he wasted all of his money or what he did that was so evil. That doesn't matter. What matters is that he wants his son to come back home. Well, finally, here's the fifth and the last part of this story for Father's Day, which implies that God's love is a joyful love. When his son returned home and he had him in his arms, the father began to cheer and to dance and to throw a party singing, "This my son was lost, and now he is found. He was dead, but now he lives." The father shouts thanksgiving to the Lord. It is hard for us to relate to that kind of joy from a holy God. Joy is not the response that we have when someone has hurt us, when someone has done bad things toward us or for us or about us. Usually we can't have that kind of joy. That is what makes the Father's love so amazing. Jesus said, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 others who simply think they don't need or have any reason for repentance. I well imagine that it was very hard for those listening to Jesus teach this parable to understand the love God has for His children who go astray. We often condemn people who we see in sin. So it was hard to hear Jesus talk about this young son who had done some horrible things, and yet God loved him so much. So for those listening, to change your thinking about God's attitude towards sinful people, that was hard for them to do. Maybe some wanted to believe, but felt that it was too good to be true. How could we have a God who loves us that way? How could we have a God who forgives us after we've done such horrible things? How could that happen? We can change our attitudes that we have toward others. I'm sure there are people that you see on the news or you see in the grocery store or you see at other places that you immediately define as an evil, sinful kind of person. And perhaps we need to change our attitude about the way we look at others that we call sinners. And we can change that attitude. We can change the way we treat other people by concentrating on these five facts from this Father's Day story about God's love. One is that God's love has no limits. And that God's love is a patient love. And that God's love is an eager love. And that God concentrates upon you and not upon the sin you have committed. And that God's love is joyful. Do you understand this story? If we can learn from this Father's Day story, then why don't we come home today? Our Heavenly Father is longing for you, loving you, waiting for you to run to you, and waiting for you to be filled with joy when you come home. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we are here today on this Father's Day Sunday because we need Jesus. We need a life filled with your presence and your forgiveness. We sometimes go off looking for a better life and end up at a dead end. Forgive me for looking on all the wrong places to have my needs met. But today, as I come to my senses, I need you. I confess and repent and turn my life over to your way. Jesus, thank you for loving me, for longing for me to return home. I need to come home today. Thank you for calling me home, God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, that I may come home. And I come now, just as I am, to receive your amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God. My heart from the God who stays.
Every time I thought I let you down, always thought I had to earn my way. But I'm learning you don't work that way, no. Cause somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with a wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done could separate my heart from the God who stays. My shame can't separate, my guilt can't separate, my past can't separate. I'm yours forever. My sin can't separate, my scars can't separate, my failures can't separate. I'm yours forever. No enemy can separate, no power of hell can take away. Your love for me will never change. I'm yours forever. Cause you're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole world walks away, you're the God who stands with wide open arms. And you tell me nothing I have ever done could separate my heart from the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction. When the whole